بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، ما بعد. قال الله تعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما هذه الحياة الدنيا إلا لهو ولعب، وإن الدار الآخرة لهي الحيوان لو كانوا يعلمون. صدق الله العظيم. والآيات في الباب كثيرة مشهورة، وأما الأحاديث فأكثر من أن تحصر، فننبه بطرف منها على ما سواه. Continuing with the verses of the Quran pertaining to the chapter and the discussion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا هَذِي الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَهُ وَلَعِبُ. That the life of this world is nothing but mere futility and play. وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ. Without doubt, the life of the hereafter, لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ, this is the true life. لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ, if only you knew. We find that this concept of the life of this world being play, being something, being an object of futility, in other words, if one's efforts are devoted towards the dunya, and this is the analogy which Quran gives us. This analogy, on a basic level, we quite clearly see it in our day-to-day life. This concept of play or amusement or games. If you look at a little child, and a child wants a toy, wants something to play with, then the child makes all sorts of demands on the parents. That I've got to have that particular toy or that particular object to play with. Sometimes, depending on the financial status of the parents, sometimes it's very costly, it's very difficult, but because of the love that we have for our children, we make all sorts of sacrifices. We find that the parents procure that particular toy, and then that in the initial phase, when the child finally gets that toy that it wanted and aspired for such a long time, then in the initial phase, all its attention is devoted to that toy. Every free second, every free moment, sometimes the parents have to entice the child away from the toy just to eat also. Child doesn't want to sleep, doesn't want to do anything else. Everything is devoted towards that particular toy or that particular object. As an adult, we look at this and we see the futility of it. We see how useless this is, that listen, this child doesn't realize that this is not the object of its life. It should not be devoting so much of time to something that is so useless and of absolutely no benefit. As adults, we look on this, but to the child, that toy is everything. And then, if an accident happens, if that particular toy has to break, that the child was devoting its day and night to, then the child starts sobbing and crying. We see these scenes in front of us, sobbing and crying, as if Qiyamat has come, as if a tragedy worse than mort and death has happened. As if somebody has died, this is how the child will cry. And as an adult, we will look on at this, and we will be, although because of our love for the child, we might sympathize with the child, but in our hearts, we will look on this with amusement, that this is nothing. As this child grows up, it will realize how useless this toy was and how wasted those tears were. This is exactly the analogy that is found in this verse of the Quran, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that, like, how that child thinks that the toy is everything, but it is just a game, it's an amusement. It's a passing phase. Exactly like that is the life of this world. وَمَا هَذِي الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَهُ وَلَعِبُ. Allah Ta'ala says to you that the life of this world is nothing but mere futility and play. And the real life is the life of the hereafter. You are grieving behind the dunya. You are giving your day and night behind the dunya. You are losing your sleep over the dunya. You are losing your health over the dunya. And if any loss you incur in this world, you behave as if it is a tragedy that has befallen you. But when mort comes, and when qabr comes, and when akhirat comes, And lokanu ya'lamun, if only you knew that what lies ahead, wa inna ad-dar al-akhirata lahi al-hayawan, that is the real life. You look at the little child and think that the child is deceived by these little toys. Its real life is its adulthood, what lies ahead, the challenges it faces in this world. Exactly like that, your engagement in this dunya is mere futility and play, and the real life is what lies ahead, the life of the akhirat, the life of the hereafter. So we find that this concept of the life of this world being temporary, a test, a passing phase, a challenge, a trial, a tribulation, that we should not fall into this trap. Throughout all these verses of the Quran, the same concept and idea is brought in front of us, that O insan, O human being, O my banda, O my slave, realize that inna dunya mazra'atul akhira, this world is only a field for the akhirat. What you sow here, you are going to reap there. Make the akhirat your goal. Wa inna dar al akhirat alayhi al hayawan, that is the true life. Lo kanu ya'lamun, if only you knew. And then Imam Nawawi rahimahullah says, wal ayatu fil bab kathiratun mashhura. The verses, we have mentioned quite a few verses of the Quran, but there are many, many more verses. Kathira, many, mashhura and famous. And you have heard this over and over again. So we will suffice with what we have mentioned thus far. وَأَمَّا الْأَحَادِيثِ, so far as the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are concerned, فَأَكْثَرْ مِنْ أَنْ تُحْصَرْ فَأَكْثَرْ مِنْ أَنْ تُحْصَرْ. There are so many that it is impossible to mention all of them. It will take too much of time, and this is not the place for so many, but we will just draw your attention to a few of them so that you get the gist and the idea of the ta'limat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to this very important aspect. The first of the ahadith, wa Amr ibn Auf al-Ansari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ba'atha Aba Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu ila al-Bahrain يأتي بجزيتها فقدم بمال من البحرين فسمعت الأنصار بقدوم أبي عبيدة فوافوا صلاة الفجر مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فلما صلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم انصرف فتعرضوا له فتبسم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حين رآهم ثم قال إلى آخر الحديث. The narrator of the hadith is a sahabi by the name of Amr bin Auf Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Generally, it was a practice of the muarrikhin, of the historians, that they would have a suffix which was attached to the name of a sahabi, sometimes Ansari or sometimes Muhajir. Muhajir means a sahabi who was born in Makkah Mukarramah, accepted Islam in Makkah Mukarramah and then made hijrah to Medina Munawwara. They were referred to as the Muhajireen. Then there was that body of Sahaba Kiram that were the generally from the Auf and the Khazraj tribes, which used to reside in Medina Munawwara, and they were residents of Medina Munawwara or born in Medina Munawwara. These Sahaba are referred to as Ansar. So many times you'll find that with their names will be Ansari, like we find in the case of this Sahabi, Amr bin Auf Ansari radiallahu ta'ala. Normally it would mean that the Sahabi was a resident of Medina Munawwara. However, in the case of this particular Sahabi, Muarrikhin say that he was not a resident of Medina Munawwara. In fact, he was actually a resident of Makkah Mukarramah, and he accepted Islam in the early stages, and he made hijrat When the command for hijrat came. And in fact, the Sahabi took part in the battle of Badr. So we find that he was amongst the superior Sahaba. He was a Badri Sahabi. Now the question arises that why is he referred to as Ansari, Amr bin Auf al-Ansari, whereas he was a Muhajir, he was from Makkah Mukarramah. Two explanations ulama ikram give. They say that because majority of the Sahaba were from the Ansar of Medina in the initial phases, this is why, based on normal language, when you use a title, you refer to everybody with the title of the majority. That is why Amr bin Auf al-Ansari. The preferred explanation was that prior to Islam, He probably was originally a resident of Medina Munawwara who migrated to Makkah Mukarramah prior to Islam. And then in the early stages of Islam, accepted Islam in Makkah Mukarramah at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is why he is referred to as Amr bin Auf Ansari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. The Sahabi passed away during the Khilafat of Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And we find that 7 ahadith are narrated by the Sahabi. This particular hadith is the only one that is mentioned in the Siha Sitta, in the accepted or the 6 authentic books of ahadith. Nevertheless, the Sahabi narrates, Amr bin Auf Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah. Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah was amongst the, what we call the Ashara e Mubashara, the 10 Sahaba that were given the glad tidings of Jannat in one majlis by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala anhu was sent to Bahrain. Bahrain is a place that gets its name from a small body of water about 3 miles long, and that is why the word Bahrain. Bahrain comes from the word Bahar in Arabic, which refers to sea or ocean. Bahrain is in fact a piece of land that is situated in Iraq. And we find that majority of the residents of Bahrain were what we call Majusi. Majusi is fire worshippers. So Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala anhu was sent to Bahrain to collect the jizya of that particular area. So as we mentioned, Bahrain is a famous city in Iraq. Majority of its inhabitants were fire worshippers. And we find that jizya, this is a terminology that is used to refer to the protection tax that was payable by non-Muslims who were living under the protection of Muslim rulers. Whenever jihad would take place, before the jihad, in other words, before the physical jihad, before the actual war was fought, first da'wat would be given to Islam, to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those that accepted Islam, obviously, would enter into the pale of Islam and would become brothers. If they refused to accept the da'wat of Islam, then the next option that would be given to them is that live under Muslim rule. In other words, keep your religion, but live under Muslim rule, and you will be afforded the same protection that is afforded to the other Muslims in that locality. But for that protection, you would have to pay a tax. And that tax is what was referred to as jizya. So the jizya that had been collected in Bahrain, which was under the Islamic rule at that time, Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala was sent by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to collect that tax. فَقَدِمَ بِمَالٍ مِّنَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ, and he had just returned to Medina Munawwara with whatever he had collected. Inshallah, we'll continue.